Here we go. That's right. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. It's the Tom and Curly Show. There is Tom there, back from France. We're not speaking French anymore. I'm glad to see that. Faire mes bouches.
They may lure your bush.
It's time to get the... We get her name. She's our French teacher at St. Aloysius, constantly screaming at us. Faire mes bouches. Like... That was that type of teaching language where she speaks no English.
Yes. Oh, I had the same thing. It's called immersion. Oh. I had the same stuff at Blanchette. I know. That did not work well for
Doesn't
me.
Doesn't work. And they keep looking at you like, you know, Gaston. 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 And you're like, huh? 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 Gaston. Huh? 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 I mean, that's what the whole class sounded like.
Monsieur Dupont. We had a book. It was all in French.
Yeah, right.
It was all about Monsieur Dupont and his wife and his kids. And I know, it was terrible.
I don't know who that works on, that like immersion thing where they just, you know, all of a sudden.
The Marchand method.
Is that what it's called? Really? Well, look at you and I still struggling. Gaston. Okay, this is it. It's coming. The tribes have got it, and you're going to be able to do some gambling. Sports gambling, man, oh man, this is going to be terrific. So Governor Inslee put this in place, got all this going after the tribes gave him a whole bunch of money to run for president. And now we got it. And here it comes. Gary Horker.
By the time the Seahawks officially kick off their season
with masked fans,
if you're willing to bet on their success or their failure, you'll be able to do it legally for the first time in the history of our state.
Won't be as much fun legally, gonna tell you that right now. Rather than dealing with some guy named Tony. Here we go.
A series of new laws and tribal compacts will open places to go to place your bets.
Yes, behind this construction wall is exactly where the casino sportsbook is going to go.
Stanford Lee is the CEO of the Snoqualmie Casino, where they're working fast to finish up building one of 16 legal sportsbooks in tribal casinos across our state, where soon you'll be able to lay a legal wager on the Hawks, the Mariners, or almost any other sport you can imagine.
I saw sailing. I'm sure curling is in there. So anything that you would be able to bet on in a Las Vegas casino, you can expect to see here in Washington.
Until now, unless you were actually wagering in Vegas, you were committing a felony if you bet on sports in Washington State. But over the last couple of years, lawmakers in Olympia slowly opened up the concept of legalized sports betting on select tribal lands.
And to be able to make it come to life is amazing.
In our area, the Muckleshoot Casino, the Tulalip Casino, and the Emerald Queen are all working hard on opening up sports books within weeks. You can place a bet in person or at a computerized kiosk inside the casinos, and there will be a lot more action than just betting whether your team wins or loses. Just like in Vegas, there are also proposition bets.
Oh, yeah.
Will your favorite home team get a first down on this next possession? Will the next score be a touchdown pass or a touchdown run versus a field goal? Those are the type of proposition bets that will be available.
There you go. Prop bets, Tom. Yeah, more cuts there. They're working on ways, plan better. Oh, betting from home. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Each individual tribal casino will eventually have their own gaming app where you can place a bet on a game right here on your phone. But it's a little bit more nuanced than just downloading the app.
No.
First of all, you have to set up an account with ID at the individual casinos.
Okay, I'm out. There's still some sports betting events.
The tribes of Washington State are also our state's seventh largest employer, and supporters of sports gaming rights say the sports books will lead to more jobs, build revenues supporting tribal social programs, and even pay for environmental work. But there are some limitations. You can't legally bet if you're employed by a professional sports team around here,
Pete
and there's
Rose.
No bets allowed on any college team from Washington State.
However, you can bet on...
Tom, name the famous college football coach who also got caught up in betting.
I don't know, John, off the top of my head. I love the question, though.
I think he was involved in the Pac-12. I think he was...
Is it Mike Price?
No.
Sorry, that was my only guess.
College games from other states.
As for how crowded the sports books will be when they first open to legal sports gambling, well, all bets are off.
Ooh, good one. All right. This is exciting news. I have to tell you, friends of mine that do this sort of stuff in Vegas, they love this.
They do.
Yeah. And I used to bet illegally when I lived.
What?
When I was in Philadelphia. But then I had a religious conversion and I stopped. When I got caught, Bill Bauer, hey, you want to bet a punt a bullet? I was like, what? That's how I got stuck. And all of a sudden I was punting a bullet, which means betting $100 on a game. And then all of a sudden, you want to roll over your winnings? Yeah, sure. And I got rolling them over. And then finally, I had like $4,000 on the line, a whole bunch of different bets. And then I lost like most of it. And then he said, hey, I need the money. And I said, well, I don't have the money until next Tuesday or next Friday when I get paid. No, I need the money tomorrow. I said, well, I don't have the money. What do you mean you don't have the money? I said, well, I don't have the money. I'll get you the money. It's not me. It's not my money. I said, whose money is it? Oh, my God. You don't want to know. And I was like, shoot, what? And then he put the fear of God into me, and I actually had to go and borrow the money from my sister. Oh, my God. But he explained to me, you don't mess with these people. You don't make a bet and then not have the cash. So this is nice. These people, this is legitimate business. You know, anybody fearing to break your ankles or sprain your ankles or whatever they're going to do to you, you get a chance to bet.
Yeah. Up front. That's the way.
Oh, that's how that's the difference. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So first off, you teased it. Are you now backing off thinking maybe you don't know the name of the coach and don't want to go on record saying something in air?
I think I found it. But did you know, John? Or,
yeah.
Okay. Is it Rick Neuheisel?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
well, but it was a fairly minor, right?
I was going to give you 100 points. Did I mention the 100 points, Sean? I had 100 points
Rick
on the line.
Rick Neuheisel won his case. He sued University of Washington for his firing because, it was one of those, you know, neighborhood bets where everybody threw in, and it was, like, so ridiculous that they used that to get rid of
him. I said he got caught up. I didn't say he was convicted. Okay.
I see. All right. He didn't punt a bullet, in other words. So I think in terms of this thing, I personally love these little ideas of bets. I can't be bothered by it, but I think anybody who's into fantasy football, for instance, the problem for me as a sports fan for fantasy football is it dissects the game so that the game is irrelevant. You're only looking for how many yards did this guy catch and all this kind of stuff. Well, it's those kinds of minds or interests that benefit from this kind of betting, especially these prop bets, it's sort of like, okay, this or that. To me, I don't have much interest in it. I just assume I'm going to lose that these casinos. No, really, John, think about it. The casinos, they're designed to make money. How do they make money? Because they figure we know more than you guys do, and they do.
Yeah, so. But Tom, if you study it, you figure out on football or something like that, right? Okay, so you look at the two teams, and you're like, I mean, it's not like they're spinning the ball around, or you're playing craps or something. But you could legitimately, okay, Pittsburgh's playing, whoever they're playing, and you're like, you know what? I think so-and-so is going to win on this one.
Yes. Yeah. And I understand that. I guess I don't want to spend the amount of time it takes to understand the ins and outs of the game.
Tom, you put $100 down on a game. I know you're a big cheapskate, but when you put $100 down on a game and be a little more than that, okay, good for you. But, oh my God, do you care?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I was coming home.
I pull over the side of the road. I run into this crappy bar, and I'm watching the Eagles. And they're like, and it looks like the Eagles are going to, they're going to go for it. I'm like, no, don't go for it. Don't go for it. Because if they score more, then it's like I bet against it. I'm like, no, not on that. Don't go for it. And then there's the hold, and it's good. I'm like, ah! Oh, no! I lost $100 on top of the other money. So you get very, very involved in the game.
I've got a movie recommendation for anybody who finds that compelling. It's called Uncut Gems. Oh. It stars Adam Sandler. It was the best movie of the year 2 or 3 years ago. It's absolutely manic.
Don't watch it.
Oh, it's
Tom, you and I talked about this.
I know.
Was it Mike Salk or something? Who got mad at you? Danny O'Neill, when you told somebody to watch that movie? They watched it and they came in and yelled at you the next day?
Well, the thing is, because your heart, if you've got heart problems, don't watch it. But it is like every second, it just gives you a sense of what it's like. This guy is a jeweler. It's Uncut Gems. But
don't give it away.
He gambles.
But yes.
Yes. But it is, talk about a frenetic lifestyle. Oh. It is like the entire movie is like the climax for like 2 hours. It's hellacious. But anyway, no, I agree, John, completely. This is what I often do to, because I love sports. I got a lot of fans, friends who don't like sports. And I say, okay, here's one way to get into a game. I can guarantee it. Put it like $100 on it. Or, you know, realize that you've got something at stake. And then every shot, every pitch, every at bat, it matters so much. That's what it's like. I don't need that juice. I'm already jacked up for a game. I don't need that excitement in my life. I've got plenty of it just being a fan.
Yeah, that's true. But most people are not like you in that regard. But when you put the money down, it does feel like something. Yeah, getting to the fact, speaking of money, when you're paying $60,000 above asking price, this is for houses, it still feels like a deal. But things are starting to cool off. This is pretty classic, and what's happened in the market is the prices have gone beyond people's income.
I do like to look at list price.
Matthew Gardner, by the way, his accent, he's local. I feel everything's very comfortable whenever he explains what's happening in the market.
As opposed to sale prices. And we're seeing some softening in the pace of increase in those numbers. So obviously, for the several years now, home sellers have had it pretty much all their way. They've pushed prices and pushed prices. But we are reaching that affordability ceiling. In fact, here in King County, we've not just reached it, we've blown through it. And because of that, I do expect that the pace of appreciation is going to start to slow. Not just because of affordability, but we are going to start seeing mortgage rates start to notch up. Not by much, but they are going to start increasing as well. Combine those things, we will see a slowdown, but I'm afraid just not quite yet.
Yeah, once the prices go beyond what people are making, there's nothing you can do about it. So it's out of reach. So there's just less and less people able to afford the houses that they reach into. 1.3 million. What's the medium income now, or medium house price in King County?
In King County, 850,000. Snohomish County, 700,000. Kitsap County, 500,000. Thurston County, 465,000.
Good Lord.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And yeah, and Seattle Times profiles this relatively young couple. I would guess they're maybe, mid 30s or 40. And they've been trying to get a house, and they realized, oh yeah, things are starting to cool down. They finally gave up their strategy because they lost out to somebody who paid $230,000 more than its list price.
Right.
$230,000 above. So they said, okay, we're going to start looking at townhomes. They finally, they found one in Linwood. They got it for $60,000 over the home $740,000 list price. And they feel like that's amazing. $60,000 is a fortune for us, but we feel excited because it was only $60,000 over because they got burned when it was $235,000 over. It's the market is hotter than blazes. And the only thing that's going to settle down is that it won't keep going up. But they say they don't expect prices. Like if you got an $800,000 house in King County, it's not going to be worth $650,000 in a year. I mean, it's not cooling down that way. It just cools down in that it's not going to be worth $900,000 or a million.
It won't be going up 10, 12, 13% like it did before.
Like
It'll still go up something to some regard. Yeah. I mean, even though inflation is also eating away at people's income, but that's going to go away after Joe Biden leaves. All right. by the way, does the casino have to go by all the COVID rules or no? Like, you don't have to wear a mask, right? I think that's the case because it's a sovereign nation.
Yeah, but I think that they can set their own rules. In fact, one of the stories I think we have, it's up to them. This might be on the story we're coming up at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good question. And I'm sure we have a number of people who have been to casinos that are listening. Let us know what the mask rule and vaccination rules are in the casinos. Because, they don't have to play by state rules, is my understanding.
Yeah.
Right.
Real quick, the fact that they were up early this morning and Robert E. Lee's head came off first, and then I think they took his trunk off, and then the horse came apart as well. So Lee's statue is removed from the Virginia State Capitol after 75,000 people signed some petition and then a bunch of other stuff. This has been going on for a while, and they say, okay, down comes the general, down comes the statue. And they take it apart. I assume they take it to a museum. They've done that sometimes. Or a private donor will grab the statue.
Yeah, what they're waiting on is they haven't decided its final disposition. That was the first I heard at the top of the hour that they divvied up the statue because they took the pedestal, which is still enormous, is still there. They just took the horse and its rider off, and maybe for storage they divvied it up. But it still could be kept in a museum. It could be sold to a private investor or something. But it's no longer on the on the site of the Virginia Capitol. And this was the culmination of a year-long legal battle. The cities were allowed to, I don't know if they passed a law or something that was allowed constitutional to go ahead and take them out. But for the state, for it to be removed from the state party, had to get kind of approval from the Supreme Court, and they allowed for that. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. By the way, someone just texted, John, all casinos are mask mandate. Emerald Queen takes temperatures before you enter.
Wow.
I always like that because my temperature is always 97.3.
why is that?
I don't know. Every time I go to get my temperature, the person's like 97.3. I said, I'm a company man.
Yeah. I have, or a cold fish.
I was literally working down at 104.7. You'd really be in trouble. All right, Tracy Taylor. Kia Mortgage, 1-888-77-AKIEL. Kia Mortgage. Laura Keel, everybody there at Kia Mortgage, anxious to hear from you because you want to refinance that house of yours. Mortgage rates starting to go up. That's not good. Don't miss this opportunity to be able to save money every single month. It's Kia Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL. Story we're going to get to later on, I assume, is the fact that the hot market is over. Are we getting to get to that?
Yeah.
I don't normally have papers to move around anymore. Just thought I'd play along with that. All right, let's see. The Generate Boy, I read this article. Holy moly. At the end of the thing, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I escaped this because that was me. Oh, yeah. Generation of American men that gave up on college and quote unquote, they just feel lost. This is in the Wall Street Journal. They didn't even need to actually print the 38 paragraphs. They could have just put the picture of the kid sitting there with those black socks on in his room next to a giant video screen, which is blank at the time. And he's got this look in his eyes. Oh, he also has purple nail polish on. Did you see that, Jacob?
I actually didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons I think he's lost. But it's basically explaining that the statistics don't bode well for men. Women are going to college. Women are graduating from college. Men are not. Men are not applying to college. Men are not graduating. If they are, they're dropping out and just generally just sort of falling off by the wayside. And then women end up moving along faster and really excelling. And part of the other problem I'll just add in there before we dig into this thing, Tom, is then there's no marriage material. So then there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago saying more and more women that have reached a point in their life where they're successful enough are saying, just, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to get a guy, but I will get a family. And it's like we go back to Murphy Brown of like 1987, mm-hmm. whatever that was, where if a woman can support a family, she doesn't need a guy. And then it makes it even worse for these guys. There really is no place for them in society.
So, yeah, there's so much here to deal with.
I know.
And you just, in addition to all the stuff the article coughs up, you coughed up another one, you know, in terms of families, marriages, the men-women breakdown. I guess let's go back, because I do think that's a legitimate question, but let's go back to just the idea of college. So I don't want to overplay this, but right now, so it used to be that men dominated college campuses, something mm-hmm. like 80-85%
yeah.
were men over the last few
years. Be all male colleges.
That's right, and all women. Yeah. In their defense. But right now, though, the average university, it's 60-40, 60% women, 40% men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like no men are going to college, but for the first time, historically, women are, it's like 2-3
yep.
That women are outperforming men at college. Now, this raises all sorts of issues. One is this kind of equity issue that you normally don't like to touch because it's traditionally presented as we as a society or we as a university need to help the underrepresented. And the underrepresented are the minorities, the poor, you know, the ethnic minorities, and women at the time were underrepresented. And so there were all these programs set to encourage people from those communities to mm-hmm. come to college.
Yes.
So one of the tricky issues that's mentioned in this article is, do we now need to set up programs to help white men? And so, and you can imagine the kind of the natural tensions that'll crop up. First, so the ones that would say negative says, wait a minute, they already hold all the, you know, the power, the structural powers in the country are already held by white men. Maybe helping white men at this time is not really, you know, the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Although the flip side, for we liberals who think that the more people, the, you know, the more diverse the population with college degrees or whatever kind of access, the better, that the argument can be made sociologically, we're better off if not anybody is sort of excluded or at least underrepresented, and that that white men too, or mm-hmm. men in general, also need you know, a sort of a hand up or a helping.
Should we lower the bar like we do for minorities?
Well, I don't know that we lower the bar. We,
sure,
we
you
allow
do.
Them
sure,
access.
You lower the text. You lower the grade scores. If you're an Asian student and you score 1600 and you have straight A's,
this is why I was trying to avoid.
Well,
getting into that
you're bringing
argument.
Up the idea of helping somebody get into college. I don't.
Well,
you know, maybe college is not the thing, because maybe college isn't the thing. But just
exactly.
generally, not, because it's not even the idea of getting them in. There's no motivation even to fill out the application. There's no motivation to do anything other than just sort of exist in your parents' basement. They're not feeling like, well, what's the next step for me? That's okay. The feeling I got left for the article. It's not okay. Like, how do we get more people into college? There's a problem when it comes to even getting the person to feel like, where is my future?
Mm. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, this is too rich for conversation. You're right. Then the whole issue is, let's say that college is not the end all and be all,
right.
Which is ever since we started the show, John, we've been talking about that. There are whole segments of you know, like thoughtful society, not just kind of rebels, but just saying. Remember, was it Peter Thiel who said, "I'll give you $1 million if you don't go to college." He picks he takes the cream of the crop that were trying to get into Harvard, MIT. Says, "I'll give you $1 million instead, and you'll be an entrepreneur, and you'll do better than you would with college degree." There is that kind of outside. You know, going the rank outside of college. However, they'd still, in this article, they cite, supposedly over the over someone's lifetime, if you have a college degree, on average, you make like $1 million more than somebody else. Now, I know a lot of college graduates never going to make $1 million. So I'm not quite sure what that figure is, but if it includes the
cumulatively,
Bezoses or the
cumulatively left, overall averages.
Yes.
But Tom,
so anyways,
pulling apart from the college thing, the idea that if you're an 18-year-old kid and you're in high school and you're not motivated, and you don't play sports, you're not involved in anything, you really are kind of isolated. Let's say also you're part of the 46% that have no father figure. So there you are at home with a mother, and you sort of see yourself as, where's this, what do I look towards? I'm like in this Peter Pan theory that Jordan Peterson talks about, that the young man is Peter Pan. Pan means everything. So he could be anything. When you're a kid, you could be anything. And Peter Pan looks forward to the future, but sees Captain Hook as the future. That's what it is to be an adult. He's missing half of his arm. He's afraid of the crocodile who has the clock in its stomach, and it's coming after him, will eat more of him. So Peter Pan sees the future of adulthood and says, well, I don't want that. I just want to stay young and irresponsible where I can be anything I want to be, which is being absolutely nothing at all. So therefore, he's sort of caught between these two worlds of nothing and then not wanting to grow up to be an adult, to be responsible.
That's right. But why does it affect men not more than women then? Because you could say the same kind of argument could be applied to women. And one of the suggestions, again, in this article, social science researchers, they say men and boys are too distracted by or are impacted by what? Video games, pornography, increased fatherlessness, and overdiagnosis of boyhood restlessness, which leads to certain medications. And I think that's really interesting. That seems to indicate that I know there are women that are into video games, but right now video games are dominated by men. In fact, there's that whole kind of sexist controversy over that in the last decade. But pornography, I would assume, is much more men-dominated. Increased fatherlessness must apply to women as much as men, but maybe the role model idea of
having
father,
the dad there.
Is more.
You saw your father get up and go to work every day.
Yeah.
You saw how hard your father worked. Right?
Yeah. I didn't realize that was the question.
No, that is right.
Absolutely.
That's and that imprints in you and all of your brothers. There goes dad off to work. Here comes dad home at the end of work. There's dad sitting at the table, seeing dad do work at home, seeing him work on the weekends, seeing him get up to go to work on Monday. That imprints in you to that's what it is to be an adult, is to have responsibilities, to pay bills, and to go to work, right?
Yes.
Right.
But John, the thing is that girls grow up that way too. They see, you know, they have role models, and for most of society, up until the last couple of decades, women were not leaders in industry, leaders of professions, running the world. So that's, to me, the kind of the dynamic. Right now, we are supposedly concerned that there are more women than men by a significant margin than are graduating from college. It would be interesting in 10 years from now to track to see if the men who didn't go to college might still be in positions of power, because the structures right now all are men dominated. They talk about even the universities are men dominated. How many university presidents? University of Washington has a woman president, but that's still the minority. Right now, the societal structure hasn't shifted away, but maybe it's in the process of, and we need to bring everybody up, not just some.
That's true. Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us. Here we go, right to SemiNorthwest.com, text as well, 989-973. Come on in, all are welcome. We got up really early, Tom, unlike you, and went to a protest over in front of Waldenstrom Middle School for the parents there in Free Elm that were protesting.
did you do any good?
Do good? No, I was the Mr. Journalist man. I didn't. Let me try to hand me an American flag. I said, nope. I'm just here asking questions. I took video and pictures, and I sent it to Stephanie, and I assume it's nowhere to be found. Yeah. Thank you. All right. There he goes.
Journalism's
it's tough business, Tom. Somebody spiked my story. Billionaire Mark Lohr, I think I'm saying that incorrectly, laid out his vision for a new city, because you want to build a city, a new city. You want to build this city on what, Sean? You want to build this city?
And roll!
Telos means the highest purpose. It was a term coined by Aristotle. It's about individuals and society.
Already I don't like this place. I'm never going there. I don't know what it is, but the organ music, is it constantly playing? Or is it just to keep people away from the 7-Eleven they're going to be building there in this new city? Here we go.
Together to reach their fullest potential.
Oh God.
Cities that have been built to date from scratch are more like real estate projects. They don't start with people at the center. Because if you started with people at the center, you immediately would think, okay, what's the mission and what are the values? The mission of Telosa is to create a more equitable and sustainable future. That's our North Star, and that'll never change. What we're trying to do is combine sort of the best of different cities in the world and bring it together. So if you think about Telosa being as vibrant and diverse as a New York City, combined with efficiency, safety, and cleanliness of a city like Tokyo, combined with the social services, the sustainability, and the governance model of a city like Stockholm. We are going to be the most open, the most fair, and the most inclusive city in the world.
Okay. Nobody wants to go there. the most inclusive and the most fair. So that's also known as China, right? So everybody is exactly equal. No. Here he goes. He's trying to create something called...
We're taking a stab at what we call equitism here.
Equitism.
What if you can pay the same taxes that you pay today, but get the best social services of any country in the world? That's equitism.
Oh.
Testing this new model for society, and at the same time, you're also testing building a city from a clean slate. What would you do? How do you infuse technology in it? How do you build it more sustainable? How do you build a public transportation system that's more efficient? How do you build underground?
Competition. Competition is the only thing that makes something better. And the reason cities fail and towns fail is because when you create a monopoly by government, there's no competition to improve for infrastructure. There's no competition that improves innovation. It is competition, one person outdoing the other person, that actually makes the place better. So everybody's equally...
That's not...
Really?
That's not what this guy's arguing.
Oh, I know
this
what his argument
about
is, Tom.
Capitalism's significant flaws.
Right.
Land ownership model that America was built on.
Right.
All the flaws that we see in our society... He wants to change. So whatever,
where did he get his billion from?
He doesn't
capitalism.
Have.
He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant the funding for the
city. He's a billionaire.
No,
he made it in this system called capitalism.
He's a former Walmart executive who sees the error of his ways. John, I think you're underestimating the power of the utopian vision. We've had this in every, you know, all throughout humanity. But I remember doing a report on Robert Owens, who had this utopian vision.
Yes, and the whole thing failed after four years.
Exactly.
Oh, I know.
Now that's the problem.
It was out in Missouri. Indiana. It was in Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana, in the Midwest.
Yep.
And the thing is that I think that impulse to do this, I think where all this falls apart is when you get outside the technology part of it, all you end up doing is dealing with the individuals. And how would politics end up being justified? You know, I think there'd be all sorts of problems because of the humanity aspect of it.
Come to Cle Elum. All right, Tracy Taylor's got a look at traffic for us, Tom.